Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Dr. Spomer and I, during the season of Lent, have a series called The Love Languages of God, the fire of God's love. Last week, Dr. Spomer spoke to you about the words of affirmation. Today, I'd like to speak to you about the love language of quality time. Now, this whole series is based upon a doctor by the name of Gary Chapman, who wrote a book that is very popular. I think I read it's been translated into 25 different languages around the world. And he says there's five love languages that people speak. And for some people, they have a primary and a secondary. And what your love language is may be different than what somebody else's love language is. Now, the first love language he talks about is the language of affirmation, words of affirmation. Now, I speak that love language. I love to say to people, oh, you look so nice today. You're wonderful. You can do this. God loves you. In fact, a lot of preaching is speaking about the love language found in the love letter that God has given to us. Words of affirmation is a language that God also speaks to us. We are created in the image of God and in His likeness, and God speaks those love languages to us. Now, one of His love languages may be more effective than another, and in a different language to us. Meaning, God speaks the love language of the words of affirmation like this: he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. It's by grace through faith you are saved. Not of works. Oh, good. I don't have to earn it. But a gift from God, lest any man should boast. Now, last week, Dr. Spomer spoke to you about God's love language of affirmation of words. The second love language that Gary Chapman speaks about is quality time. Now, I have a 4-year-old granddaughter named Ari, and I can go up to her and say, oh, you're so cute. You're so wonderful. You're so pretty. And she just kind of looks, okay? That language doesn't speak to her. Words of affirmation. It really doesn't. But she'll sit there and go, I have an idea, Opa. And she starts just shaking. I said, what is that, Ari? She goes, I think we should play Dancing Girls. And I go, okay. And she just, ooh. Quality time is what really speaks to my granddaughter. Then there's the third language of love, gifts. And I've shared before that my wife has this gift. Boy, you know. Some time ago, I asked her to get me a couple pairs of socks. She got me 35 pairs of socks. 10 black, 10 gray, 10 brown, and 5 multicolored. And she is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, 35 times. Christmas time, my kids are lucky to get a gift from me. Sabina makes sure they get gifts. That's her primary love language. Gifts. Maybe you're good at giving gifts. The fourth love language is acts of service. Today, that's Martha. We see it clearly in this scripture reading. And acts of service, maybe you know somebody who just loves to volunteer for everything. Well, another person won't volunteer for anything. Why is that? They're different. Acts of service, doing things for other people. It is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives too. And the fifth love language is just physical touch. Children love to be coddled. They love to be held. They love to be carried. My granddaughter is that way. Maybe you've met somebody and Oh, they just love to hug. It's a love language. I want you to know I grew up with a father who never hugged me. He never shared words of affirmation. He was terrible at giving gifts. But I knew I was loved. And I loved my father. You know why? Because he was always there for me. My father was always home. After work, he came home. He didn't go to the bar. He didn't go to the casino. Every weekend, he was home, and he would take us camping and fishing and spend quality time with myself and my siblings. We knew we were loved. Well, today I want to speak to you about God's love language to all of us called quality time. But to do that, I want to take a closer look at the story of Mary and Martha. Will you once again open up your Bibles as we take a look at this scripture and learn about the love language of our God called quality time. 38, and as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had the love language of service, acts of service down. Come on into my house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. The love language of quality time. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Have you ever been mad at anybody? Martha is mad at Mary. Why? Have you ever been mad at somebody? Why? Two women in the same house serving the same Lord, and one gets mad at the other. That's almost like two people married living in the same house getting mad at each one another. That's like two people working the same job and one gets mad at the other. It's like two people in a church serving the Lord and one gets mad at the other. How can that be? Well, let's take a step back. Maybe it's because a different love language is being spoken. Or maybe it's deep inside the sinful nature is welling up. John says this. You know why you fight and quarrel amongst yourselves? Isn't it because of your sinful passions and desires from within? Hey, you turkey, you should be more like me, the eagle. The turkey says, no, eagle, you should be more like me, the turkey. Isn't that what Martha is saying here? She's not happy with Mary. She's saying, hey, she should be more like me. But it even goes deeper than that. Look who she really gets mad at. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to the Lord and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Does it sound familiar? The woman you gave me, the sister you gave me, the spouse you gave me, the children you gave me, the pastor you gave me, huh? And the list goes on and on. Yeah, you know your sinful desires are flowing to the top. When you are angry and you take a step back and realize you're complaining to God. And it even goes deeper than that. What does she do? Then she says to the Lord, tell her. Martha is bold enough to tell God what to do. Tell her then to help me. You know your sinful nature is taking control when you spend quality time in prayer with God and you tell him what to do. Change my spouse. Change my job. Change my circumstances. And Jesus is up there. How about you? Should I change you? Yeah. Have you ever been angry? Last week, I went to see somebody in David L. Moss Correction Center. It's the jail. And after going through all the screening, I went in and the gentleman came out and some small talk, a few little tears. And I said, what's happening? And he says, well, and he got told me how angry he was about the police officer that arrested him and how he's angry at the district attorney, angry at his own lawyer, and really angry at that judge. And then he sits back in his chair and says, nothing good can come of this. And I went, what? Nothing but good has come because of this. He looked at me and I said, number one, you're off drugs. You got a clear mind. I said, number two, you're not selling drugs. Number three, you're finally thinking about the consequences of your actions. Number four, you're drawing close to God. Number five, you talked about your family like I've never heard you before. I said, number six, you're drawing close to God and great things can happen because of it. This is nothing but good is happening in your life. And he just was bawling, uncontrollable tears. And I said, quit being angry at God. He works for the good, for all those who love him. This is for your good. Well, Jesus hears all this. He knows Martha's love language, and he knows the language that he has to share with Martha. And it's not the love language she shares. He could have snapped his fingers, feeding of the 5,000, did the serving, the fooding, but he didn't. See, for a long time, I always thought Martha was the bad guy, Mary was the good guy. You know, Martha did it wrong, Mary did it right. Nothing could be further from the truth. They're both sharing their love language with Jesus and serving him, just in different ways. Let's take a look at the love language that Jesus uses on Martha, which is words of affirmation, and a different language he shares with Mary. But the Lord answered Martha. Martha, Martha. Now, whenever God speaks the name twice, it's very intimate, very personal. Abraham, raising the knife. Abraham, Abraham, don't touch your child. Moses on the mountain. Moses, Moses, excuse me, before the burning bush. Moses, Moses, remove your sandals, for this is holy ground. Martha, Martha, the words of affirmation she needed to hear. You are anxious and troubled about many things. Thank God. I'm hungry. Mary's hungry. You're hungry. Disciples are hungry. If you're not cooking, we're going to be starving. These things have to be done. If you don't do them, who's going to do them? But you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Now that's, the ESV doesn't, I believe, truly express what Jesus is saying. If you drop down on this page to the little notes in our Bible, you'll see note number three. Some manuscripts say, few things are necessary. What Jesus is saying, these things are necessary. Cooking, serving. Otherwise, we all go hungry. You're doing what you do best, and they are necessary. But what you can't do, Martha, is look at Mary, and when she's doing the one thing she does in love language best, and try to take that away from her. Stop it. Quit pointing at the turkey and saying, you should be more like me. Look at how he says this. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. What's the love language for her? Which will not be taken away from her, as hard as you may try, Martha. Oh, gosh. Words of affirmation to Martha, what she needed to hear, and quality time with Mary, teaching her while Martha served and cooked. You know, God speaks to people in quality time. Have you ever wondered why somebody can say, you know, hey, maybe you've met somebody, you know, I've spent 2 hours reading the Bible this morning. And you're going, boy, I feel guilty. I can't spend 2 minutes reading the Bible, if we're honest with ourselves. Maybe you've met somebody who said, oh, I meditate all the time. And you're going, I can't meditate. Or maybe, have you ever considered a monk at a monastery? Monastic life, secluded, you know, kind of all by themselves. How can they handle that? I know I can't, but that's a love language they like to hear from God, being alone with him. Funny story I heard about a monk who took a monastic vow of silence, okay? Every 5 years, he was allowed 2 words. Maybe you've heard this one. After 5 years, not speaking, the head monk says, you now may speak 2 words, and he goes, food, gold. Okay? 5 years later, the head monk says, you are now allowed 2 words. He said, bed hard. 5 years later, 15 years, the head monk says, you're allowed 2 words. He says, I quit. The head monk says, that doesn't surprise me. All you've ever done since you got here is complain. Well, try to understand a monk. All he wants to do is spend time in meditation and prayer and worship. But that's a love language he loves to hear. You know who was like that? Martin Luther. You know, uninterrupted communion with God is not a drudgery. For some people, it's joyous. It doesn't add a burden. It lifts a burden. Martin Luther said this. Now, Martin Luther has written more books, more hymnals, more songs than almost anybody that I know. He said this, you know, I have so much to do today, I have to spend at least 3 hours in prayer to get it all done. Think about that for a moment. Have you ever spent 3 hours in prayer so you can get things done? Wow. That is that personal time. Throughout the history of the Bible, God spends quality time with his people. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. What do we learn about God? He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. On the seventh day, God created the day of rest that he blessed and made holy and said, let's commune for a 24-hour period. God spent time with Noah, Abraham, who he called his friend, Moses on the mountain, face to face, you might say, David, he said, a man after my own heart. David wrote the Psalms and said, God is near me. Throughout the Old Testament, God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to be with the people as his representative, to speak his words. Remember Elijah in the cave all alone? And God came to him and spoke to him in a whisper. Yeah. And then 2,022 years ago, God split history in two. Emmanuel, God is with us, the first Christmas. He gathered those disciples together and hung out 3.5 years with them, spent 33 years on earth with all of mankind. And when things got rough, he would often take the disciples, let's go off into a solitary place, a mountaintop, maybe out on a boat on the lake. And he'd spend quality time with them. And he demonstrated that to the disciples. Remember Peter, James, and John? the night he was betrayed and arrested, Jesus went to a lonely place, a solitary place, Garden of Gethsemane. And he spent 3 hours speaking to the Father. Remember those disciples? They fell asleep. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And he said, Lord, not my will. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Before he went to the cross, the disciples were scared about being alone because he said he was leaving. And he said, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The Father and I want to dwell in you, make our home in you. I will send, if I leave, I will send the Comforter, the Counselor, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit is what? Your body. And he comes and he communes with you and spends time with you. He enables you to see your sin and need of a Savior. And then Pentecost, the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are granted. And the church takes off. No, God is always communing with his people and wants to spend time with you. And he makes this promise, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Yeah. The psalmist says, God is near. That may not be your love language. You may be don't like to meditate, spend time in prayer or reading God's word. That's okay. You're different. I'm not trying to tell you to be like me or be like Martin Luther. I'm just saying sometimes in life, when it's not our language, we need to know God speaks that language. And maybe we need just to learn to chill out, not get mad. Maybe we need sometimes in life when we get so busy, anxious, and we start getting mad at the world, which is really at God, just chill out. Be still. And know that I am God, we're told in Scripture. I have a brother who I believe loves the love language of quality time with God. And it happens this way. He goes for walks. He loves to walk. And when he walks, he loves to call me. If it's 4 degrees, he's walking and he's going, it's so cold, it's 4 degrees. And he's walking out in the country. And after he gets done talking to me, I know exactly what he does. He starts talking to the Lord. And he asks the Lord to bless me. And I know he prays for his wife and his family members. The reason I know that is because I've been with him when he talks to the Lord as if the Lord is between us in the truck. I do the same thing. It's like a 3-way conversation, not a 2-way conversation. That's quality time that God speaks to him. Now, this isn't the last time that Jesus speaks the language of quality time with Mary. Now, Mary is known in Scripture as the woman who's wealthy and helps support the disciples, and she anoints the feet of Jesus with very expensive perfume and oils. Remember Judas, well, turkey, you should be more like me. We should use this to give to the... Jesus, let it be. She's anointing my body. Now, after the crucifixion, in the resurrection story, remember there's all those Marys? Well, one of them, I believe, is this Mary and Martha. Mary Magdalene, I believe, is the same Mary. Why? Because they both anoint with oil. If there's two, there could be two, but that's okay. I believe they're one and the same, and many, many people believe that. And when you study it, the evidence is kind of overwhelming that they're both the same person because they anoint with oil, they're wealthy. Well, afterwards, okay, remember, the women go to the tomb and the stone is rolled away. Why do you seek the living among the dead? They kind of leave, but where's Mary Magdalene? Where's Mary? We really don't know. She could have left or she could have stayed. But then Peter and John come. They go in, they see the tomb empty, they take off. But we know from Scripture that Mary's now in the garden alone. And she's crying. And Jesus comes to her. Remember, she thinks he's the gardener and says, "What have you done with the body? Just tell me, I'll go get it. I'll go get him." And here's the word. Mary. And why do I believe it's really the Mary and Martha one? Because what is their response? Rabboni, teacher. Remember, she was at the feet of Jesus while he was teaching. He spends that quality time with her, knowing that not the group, she needed to be alone with him. And she clings to him and he says, "Don't cling to me. Go and tell the disciples you have seen me, that I have risen from the dead." And she goes and tells the disciples. Mary. You know, in 1912, a man was spending quality time with God, or we could say God was spending time with him and showing him that love language. And he was contemplating John 20, the story of Mary in the garden, in the cool of the day, kind of like Adam and Eve. And as he contemplated that scripture and was alone and meditating, God spoke to him and gave him inspiration. And so he got out a piece of paper and got out a pen and he started writing a poem. A beautiful poem. Some of you actually know the poem. Some of you know a portion of the poem by heart and you may not even realize it. I'd like to read to you the poem. And in this poem, this person named Alex Miles writes about you and me. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, cool of the day. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And this portion of the poem, you know, and I'm going to ask you to sing it with me. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen.